Here in the pulpit of Temple Patrick Reformed Church, and to share God's word with you. And we started to look 2 weeks ago at nine Simons, just looking at these different characters of the Bible that share the same name. I should have said then, I've read that the meaning of the name Simon is hearing. And so throughout the New Testament you have, now and again, he who has ears, let him hear. And so the Lord is speaking to us, and I wonder, are we listening? Are we attuned to him? Do we hear? Do we heed? After we hear God's word. So that is the thought behind the meaning of the name Simon. We looked at Simon, the committed follower, Simon Peter, as opposed to the best of the known Simons, and then Simon the converted troublemaker, Simon the zealot, both Simon the fisherman and Simon the zealot. They were among the 12 of the disciples. If you and I had to choose 12 disciples at that time, we probably wouldn't have chosen what the Lord chose. But the Lord takes a life and shapes it for his own purpose and has a future use for that life. And here are these Simons together. And when you think, as remarked, on Simon the zealot, the terrorist who would have hated the Romans, and yet one of the other disciples, Matthew, was a tax collector. He would have been deemed a traitor, a betrayer against the Jewish people. And yet the Lord chose them both and would have changed their hearts towards each other and used them for his own purpose. Then we saw Simon, Christ's brother, who was in the extended family of the Lord Jesus, a son of Mary and Joseph. But let's continue on, see how many we get through this morning, hopefully two at least. Let's look at Simon the cleansed leper. And let's read Matthew chapter 26 and verse 6. Matthew 26 and verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. This is one of those passages of Scripture where it's always good to look at the other references, because there are slight differences. You'll read this again in Mark chapter 14 and in John chapter 12. And it's very clearly in the house of Simon the leper, and he's only mentioned by name in Matthew and Mark. We know nothing else about the man. We can read between the lines. He's not mentioned in John chapter 12. We read of a woman in Matthew and Mark anointing him, but John names the woman as Mary of Bethany, who we looked at some time ago when we considered the six Marys. And although it says Simon the leper, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, it would be obvious that he was a former leper. He could not have given this hospitality in his home if he had been still a leper, because he would have had to have lived separately from his home. We don't know who this Simon was. I've read even that he may have even been the father of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He may have been some family connection. But no longer could he have been a leper at this point to give this hospitality. He would have had to have socially distanced. That's not a term that's just been around since last March. Lepers had to socially distance and to self-isolate themselves from their family. And we have that in Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. Chapters 13 and 14 of Leviticus are very long chapters to do with the law of leprosy and the leper themselves and where they lived and so on. They're long chapters, you can read them yourselves. But Leviticus 13, 45 and 46 says, now the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip. So he had to wear a face mask. You see, these things aren't new around. He had to wear a face mask of some kind, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp. Shall his habitation be. He had to separate himself from other people. So Simon at this stage could not have been a leper, because you could see that how he had to live and what he had to cry. And yet he's giving hospitality to at least 16 other people in his home. There's himself, and there's Jesus, and there's Martha and Mary and Lazarus and the 12 disciples. This man must have been healed at some point before this by the Lord Jesus. We do read in his ministry that there were different ones who had been delivered from evil spirits, and the lame were made to walk, and the blind were made to see, the deaf were made to hear, lepers were cleansed. He must have been one of them. And here he is, maybe giving this thanksgiving meal for what the Lord had done in his life. And if he had been in a leprous condition, I want to say the person who was thus diagnosed could only look forward to a living death, separated from his home and friends, with no treatment offered and little hope of restoration apart from God's intervention in grace and mercy. So he had experienced the ministry of the Lord Jesus in his life. This skin disease, leprosy, which is a picture of sin in the Bible, this Simon had been delivered from that. We know nothing else about him, but yet we read of something that took place in his home, which is beautiful. We touched upon this when we considered the Mary of Bethany, but just to add a few more comments here. John mentions it was Mary of Bethany that anointed Jesus. It says that she had an alabaster box. Even it wasn't expensive. The container was expensive as well as the contents. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. John tells us in John chapter 12 that it was, it says that in verse 2, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. No complaints now from Martha. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So even Lazarus is there, who had been raised from the dead. So can you picture what was taking place in this home and who was there? There was Simon, the host, who had been healed of leprosy. And here was Lazarus, who had spent 4 days in the tomb, who was beginning to decompose when the Lord Jesus raised him from the dead, and he's here, along with Martha and along with Mary. Then took Mary a pound of ointment. So there's the quantity of the ointment, a pound of it, of spikenard, very costly. And anointed the feet of Jesus. It says in Matthew, in our reading, that she poured it on his head. So she anointed Jesus from head to foot, all of his body, as he sat. And she wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. It would have been a lovely fragrance. I like to tie that in with what Paul said in 2 Corinthians about our lives being the fragrance of Christ, the aroma of Christ. I'll never forget the comment made about a woman when I was at Bible College in the late 70s in Edinburgh, the Faith Mission Bible College. And there was an older woman, and this was what was said about her. She smelt of God. And I've never forgotten that description about that woman. I was only 19 at the time, and she smelt of God. What a lovely description about any Christian. I wonder, do we smell of God? No matter who we're with, no matter what company we're in, do we smell of God? Do we have that fragrance of Christ? And this home was filled with this fragrance. And look at the fragrance from Simon's life. Look at this, the fragrance from Martha's life and Mary's life and Lazarus's life, the disciples' lives, apart from Judas Iscariot. And what fragrance they spread abroad. As Jesus said to the same men, to minus Judas Iscariot, after his resurrection and before his ascension, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. spreading abroad the fragrance of Christ. And yet it says here, and as we remark in verse 13, "Verily I say to you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." Why has this Mary not to be forgotten? Why has she to be part of the gospel? Because she was an individual who gave her very best for Christ. No doubt this ointment, I wonder how she obtained it. Did she save up for it? Why did she have it? Did she use it personally as a kind of a perfume for herself, the way ladies do, the way men wear aftershave and all too? Did she use it for that? But here on this occasion, she decided to sacrifice this. She made a sacrifice and she gave her very best, the very best that she had, to Christ. An alabaster box, even it was broken, and after it, it was broken, it would have been good for nothing. It was useless. A very precious ointment. She gave her very best. And what did Jesus say to one on one occasion? "Who is my neighbor?" You know, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." There's no room there for being half-hearted in our profession of Christ. There's nothing casual about that. That is our very best. That is our 100% and more. Jesus said to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you, whatever they are. But our priority is to seek first the kingdom of God. And Mary of Bethany gave her very best to Jesus, which was misunderstood, even by the disciples, even by people who should have supported her. They began to complain, but when the disciples saw it, they had indignation. They were angry, saying, "This is a waste." It's not the first time that somebody has said to other Christians, you know, "I'm thinking about studying, I'm thinking about going to Bible college. Ach, you can do better than that." Why was this ointment not sold and given to the poor? And Judas Iscariot, in the account of John, chapter 12, seems to have been the spokesman. And it was worth maybe a year's wages to a labourer. But Jesus is precious to Mary. And we saw that when Jesus was in their house, that she took the occasion to sit at his feet and to learn from him. She wasn't going to waste that opportunity. So, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, no matter where, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. A woman who gave her all, a woman who gave her very best. And that's what the Lord expects from any one of us. And one has said that the deeds and titles of many a king, an emperor in general, are as completely forgotten as if written in the sand. But the grateful act of one humble Christian woman is recorded in 150 different languages and is known all over the globe. The praise of man is but for a few days. The praise of Christ endureth forever. The pathway to lasting honour is to honour Christ. Simon the cleansed leper. Now, in the home of another Simon, we have something similar that happens. We have another anointing. In the home of Simon, we'll call him the callous thinker. Let's turn to Luke chapter 7 and see what goes on here. This is Jesus in the home of a Pharisee. And in the gospel accounts, this is the only home of a Pharisee that he was ever in. We'll take time and read the verses. Luke 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. And this is the only time in the Gospels that we read of this. This woman had an alabaster box of ointment. But this is a different occasion. This is not Mary of Bethany. Neither is it Mary Magdalene. And we sorted that out, I think, when we looked at these Marys. The Roman Catholic Church takes this passage and says this woman was Mary Magdalene, but there is absolutely no evidence about that. It just says that she was a woman, but what it says about her is that she was a sinner. She must have been well known. She was notorious. She was a sinner. Even Simon knew that she was a sinner. We don't know what a reason that she was a sinner. She may have been an immoral woman, and that's most likely the case. But my, when she came into this home, when Jesus was in this home, and others would have been there as well, and this woman finds out that Jesus is there, she enters this home guilty, vile, and helpless. And she anoints the spotless Lamb of God. She entered this home a sinner. We don't know how long this all took place, but she left it a saint. She came in foul, feeling her sin. She stood at his feet behind him, weeping. She was brokenhearted over how she had lived her life. She was a sinner, and she knew that she was a sinner. And she knew that here was the one who could forgive her sin. And that he did. Verse 48, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. She came in to Simon's home troubled. She left in peace. She left a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things had passed away, and all things had become new. She did something that Simon didn't do. Do you see why he was a callous thinker? In verse 39, now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Why is Jesus having anything to do with this woman? But she did what Simon didn't do. Jesus said, am I come into your home? You gave me no water for my feet, which was a custom, you know, to cleanse the feet of weary travelers. You gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with tears. And she's wiped them with the hairs of her head. You give me no kiss, no embrace, no welcome. But since the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And what figure do you put on many? Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Because the Lord Jesus does forgive every sin. It doesn't matter what anybody has committed. It doesn't matter the life that they've lived. If they come in true repentance and godly sorrow to the Lord Jesus Christ, their sins will be forgiven. It doesn't matter what they've done, even towards other people. If they come to Christ, they will be saved. They will be healed, spiritually healed. They will be made a new creation. They will stand as justified. As if they've never sinned, they will be forgiven. I wonder what was Simon's motive in inviting the Lord Jesus to his home. We don't know. But one has said that when God cannot get religious leaders to appreciate Christ, he will get harlots to do so. And Jesus said that such were entering the kingdom of God before Pharisees were. So are we like Simon, callous, or like this woman, penitent? That's how quickly conversion can take place. She came into this home a sinner, and she knew it and she felt it, but she left a saint. A totally different woman altogether. Like Zacchaeus climbing up the tree. He climbed up the tree, a dishonest tax collector. He came down out of the tree, different from when he went up, changed completely. And people can come into churches this morning at 11:30. They can go out different at 12:30 or thereabouts, because they've met the Lord. And what a great change has taken place. My mother will be 89 in July. In November 1975, at a mission in Lisburn Congregational Church, our home church, there's a 3-week mission conducted by Pastor Val English. On the last night of the mission, Val was halfway through a sermon. My mother was sitting in the pew, and she just trusted the Lord where she sat. She couldn't wait any longer. She couldn't wait until the service was over. She just bowed her head and trusted Christ as her Savior. She came into that service at 6:30, a sinner. At 7:30 or thereabouts, she left a saint. She entered the service separated from God. She left it with God. And we're heading for, 46 years ago. And she still has a lovely testimony. That's how quickly things can take place. And this woman, whoever she was, whatever her name was, in the house of this Simon. We don't read about this Simon anymore. Mark, Matthew, John doesn't record this, only Luke. I wonder what kind of impression it made on him. We don't know. We just have to wait to eternity to find out. I'll just do one more, and then it means that three threes are nine, so it means that over 3 weeks we've done three. But just John chapter 6 and verse 71, we don't have to spend too much time in this. Well, verse 66 says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." You see, there were many others who followed Jesus, but when it came to counting the cost, there were those who didn't want to count the cost. They wanted an easy life. They didn't want to be taken out of their comfort zone. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, and this is one of Simon's great statements, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You alone have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Simon the cleansed leper, Simon the callous thinker, I've called him Simon the conspirator's father. John is the only one to mention the name of the father of Judas Iscariot. He's called Simon. We don't know anything about him, of course. He's an unknown father, but with a well-known son. Judas Iscariot, the traitor. Even to this day, in betrayal, somebody will be called a Judas. There's a mother here too somewhere. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. At one point, Simon and his wife had a wee boy. They called him Judas. I wonder, had they any more children? But they had this wee boy. No doubt they loved him. No doubt they brought him up well. But look how he turned out to be. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And parents, we bring our children into the world. We don't know what their lives will be. We don't know what they'll do in adult years. All we seek to do is to bring them up in the things of God and pray that when they're old, they'll not depart from those things. But that's just an interesting wee thing here, that Judas Iscariot's father is not mentioned anywhere else in the Gospels. In the Bible, only here in John 6 and verse 71. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So we learn this morning about Simon the cleansed leper. What a household we read of there. What changes the Lord made in lives. And what a change in the life of another home of Simon, but not in that Simon's life, but in the woman that came. And so we pray that our lives will show that we have been changed too. Let's close in singing Psalm 28. Psalm 28 to the tune Cunningham, verses 3-8. With ill men draw me not away that work iniquity, that speak peace to their friends while in their hearts doth mischief lie. Verse 6 says, forever blessed be the Lord, who graciously he heard the voice of my petitions and prayers did regard. And he certainly heard and answered the prayers of the woman in the home of Simon the Pharisee. Psalm 28, verses 3-8.